I just want to share some thoughts this evening in reflection of the scripture that Jan shared there in Matthew's gospel about the wise men, we call them. And I thank you all for blessing us with your presence this evening, coming out this late at night, and those with little children, Lord bless you, as they're probably antsy to get in bed and get ready for tomorrow. And so we will share a word, and then we will share at the Lord's table, and then we'll share a singing with the candles, and we'll go home and receive a blessing with family tomorrow. But tonight, I want you to think just with me for a few moments, if you will, a couple of things. One, what happens when people come into the presence of Jesus? There's different reactions that we find, especially here in Scripture. And if you would, let me just share a moment once again. It says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, 'Where is this Christ to be born?' They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for the scripture tells us Bethlehem would be that place.'" And then it says Herod, summoning them secretly, said that he wanted to know because he wanted to worship, but truly, he really didn't. And so let's pray as we come to God's word tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the worship that we have experienced to this point in your presence. God, we thank you for the ultimate gift that we have been given in Jesus. We thank you for this time set apart where we can meet with you. And so may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you tonight, our Lord and our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen. And so, first of all, it raises a lot of good questions, and I would begin by just simply asking, why during Herod's time does the child come? Why was Herod so disturbed, and what would it have meant to these wise men, as we call them? What was in this dream's warning to tell them to not continue in the way they had come, to go back that way? And with that in mind, I would just ask you tonight, imagine, if you will, that we are about to do something amazing that's going to affect everyone around the world. Where would we begin? Where would we start? Which city would we launch out from? Which media would we use? What would we focus on? Who would be our spokesperson for this event if we were to do something like that? And so, thinking in those terms, I think you would agree with me tonight that the arrival of the infant in Bethlehem to the whole, take it out from there to the whole world, is a way to recognize that God doesn't think the way that you and I do. I don't think the way that my God does. My mind is not like God's mind. And in fact, from a human perspective, in the 21st century, the easiest thing to do would be to type something into one of these things, push a button, and it's around the world. It's done, Lord. It's good. Everybody knows, bing, Christ is born, and it's done. Well, that's the man's way of thinking. God's strategy actually reveals his sovereignty, if you will, his perfect rule, because the use of these magi reflect this. These were men who studied the stars and the heavens and the scripture, and they tied the two together, and they trusted in what they read and what they saw and what they found, and they followed after their studies, and they knew that the scripture said, expect a king who is of the Jews, who is coming at this time in this place because of this star, and they set out. And so God decided to reveal himself initially to a group of illiterate shepherds. And then he comes to these wise men of the East, if you will, who are far removed geographically and even spiritually. These are men who are of another religion, if you will. And it's only the way that an all-powerful God can get things done. And so Galatians 4:4 tells us that in his time, in the right time when it had fully come, God sent his son born of the Virgin Mary. And these men were called out to point that out. How strange for our God to move in this way. But in God's perfect way and timing, he came. Now, God tonight is still on the throne, and he still controls creation. In fact, on the other hand, there's much myth that we have learned in the midst of history. For example, the three gifts have given rise to the fact that there were three men. And the three men have given rise to the fact that they have become kings. And the three kings were actually named and given personalities if you study the history. And there are some cathedrals that have actually given them obituaries. And so tonight, which raises this valid question, at what point are we embracing truth? And at what point are you and I embracing myth in the midst of this wonderful story that we are celebrating, which has led to some other really good questions, which is the reality of that star. What was it? And where was it going? And how far did they follow it? And was it really going in the direction that they say it did, and so forth? And these are great questions, but they're not necessary tonight to ask to believe the truth of the story, because we, by faith, believe that Almighty God provided miraculous intervention. And although the real point tonight, this evening, is not to focus on these kind of questions or these kind of issues. Now, the arrival of these magi, if you will, have been influenced very much so by these Christmas cards with wonderful pictures on them. And this is one that I received from a wonderful couple that I haven't seen in a couple years this year for Christmas. But I believe that these pictures have influenced our understanding of Scripture tonight. That's already, if you will, put in our mind that there were probably two, maybe three camels with long flowing robes these kings came on. More likely, though, they were riding Persian horses, white Persian horses from the area they had come from. And they were probably men who had political pull to place kings in certain areas and certain political situations. And so when they show up in Jerusalem, it's not just like this little quiet gathering on the side. It's probably like this cavalry coming into town. And the first person that they see, they ask, "Where is the King of the Jews?" And things were shaky in Jerusalem. And Herod, I don't know what you know of King Herod, but it's significant that when Herod got upset, the people got fearful. And when Herod got upset, he did some pretty nasty things. In fact, Herod was a hard, paranoid, fearful, jealous ruler who actually, history shows, killed one of his wives and two of his children for fear that they were going to take his authority away from him. This is Herod that was in rule when our Lord was born into Jerusalem. He saw himself as king of the Jews, so the presence of these men would have threatened that. In fact, it has been said that it was easier to be Herod's pig than his son. Just for a little bit of trivia for you this evening. So tonight I want you to consider this. The real way that people react when they're in the presence of Jesus. The real way that people will react when they're in the presence of Jesus. First of all, there is inquiry. There is a seeking to discover. True wise men get to the point. People who say that they are wise in themselves don't usually come to the truth that way. In fact, Jesus said it this way, "Unless you become as a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." In fact, we find this story, I believe some this evening struggle with our intellect. We find this story intellectually unsustainable. We can't get our mind around it. We can't just believe that something miraculous like this truly happened the way that it did, so we can rationalize it away. Really? Did it really happen that way? And yet we're unprepared to bow before the word of Scripture and ask that God may reveal himself to us through this story that we heard and we've been singing and praying about tonight. Did it really happen that way? Let me ask you this evening, are you too wise to believe? Have you ever been there? Have you done everything? Have you seen everything? Been there, done that? Just like Job, whenever God approaches Job and says, "Where were you when I laid the foundations, when I put the boundaries out, when I laid out the way that the earth would be formed? Were you there?" The inquiry of truly wise men is not one of the cynic, but the inquiry of faith. Now, they arrived in Jerusalem with this one simple question: where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? Where is he? Where is he? Possibly asking unlikely characters. In fact, the first person that they came to may have been a guard. And he would have obviously went, "You mean Herod? He's the king of the Jews. He's over there in the castle, the palace over there. Or they may have run into someone who could have cared less and was very indifferent. But the point being, let's take it out of the storybook image of something that seems like a myth and put it into reality today, in the sense that they are there, they are asking people, and the religious leaders of the day that they approached actually gave all the right answers. And yet they were apathetic. They couldn't see it. They couldn't believe it. They didn't care. They didn't really want to believe it. Isn't that strange to you? It is to me tonight. That the religious people of the day failed to grasp the wonder of it all. How wonderful that was, while ancient astrologers from a far land that God wooed with this star in the scriptures came and they were awakened by Christ to seek him. I wonder if your heart has been awakened to seek after Christ. Are you inquiring tonight about Christ? Next, they showed great devotion. They were inquiring, they showed great devotion. In fact, after Herod had found out the time and sent them on their way with his lies, in verse 9, the star went ahead of them till it stopped where the child was. And then it says this, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. It wasn't just that's kind of neat. It says that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They saw, they bowed, and they worshiped in his presence. See, we, you and I, cannot really begin to understand what these wise men, if you will, experienced whenever they saw the Christ child. But we need to clearly understand this. They didn't think it was just some sentimental, cute, and nice scene of a little baby born to a blessed couple. That's fine. That's nice. We've seen it. Now we can go and we can move along. It was nothing like that. In fact, I believe that we can only imagine that supernatural experience was happening, not in a manger setting, because by this time the child must have been at least a year, maybe a year and a half old when these wise men showed up, and so it was a toddler. So when they saw that child standing there like no other child before, they stood, they looked, they bowed down, and they worshiped. When they saw that child, they bowed down. You hear that tonight? When you truly see Christ Jesus, you will bow down. It's the only reaction that we can offer when we truly come into his presence at any given time. When they saw the child, they bowed down. When you see him for real, you cannot help but do this. And part of that is the realization that you've seen him. When you bow down before him and he is Lord. See, many have gone to church and done religious things their whole life, and yet have truly never seen the real Jesus. They know of Jesus, and they know the things about church and Christ, but they've not known him. For he draws from us that response of our lives, not a quick glance of a Christmas story, but a worshipful heart. He brings us to that place. Not the passing indifference of religiosity, not the irrelevance of so much that goes on around us, but the wonder of it all, what it must have been like to bow before him alone, because he is worthy. Amen? Amen. He is worthy tonight of worship. And so all who come to Christ come on their knees. Somehow, in their deep understanding, they were aware that he was worthy of their praise. There were no stained glass windows. There was no great organ. There was no praise band. There were no pews or anything like that. But isn't it interesting, after 2,000 years of doing church, what we think that we have to be essential for worship? When the heart of a man or woman comes into the presence of Jesus Christ, worship will happen no matter their surroundings. And then finally, number three, they offered something. They were inquiring, they were adoring and showing devotion, and then finally they presented their gifts, which were appropriate. You know, it's been said that that gold is appropriate for a king, and it's probably so. And it's also been said that frankincense would have been used by a priest, and we know Jesus is spoken of as the high priest And it's also been noted that myrrh was used in the embalming of a body, as we know that the crucified body of Christ would have needed these things. But once again, this isn't the ultimate issue tonight. In fact, the ultimate issue tonight, as we celebrate the real issue of this season, is they saw, they bowed down, they worshiped, and they gave. And they gave a gift, an offering of themselves. A gift plus an offering of themselves. You know, sometimes we ask our children, and I do it with my own, what are you getting for Christmas? And it's kind of fun for a little while until they drop out that long list. And there's a couple hundred things on there. And I'm like, man, who's paying for that? And, well, what are you getting for Christmas? And then I chastise them for a commercial approach to Christmas. And I'm the one teaching them that. What are you getting? What are you getting? What are you getting? You know, tonight the better Christmas question is, what are you giving this Christmas? What are you giving? Can I ask you this evening, as we, before we prepare to come to the table and receive all that the Lord has given for us in the broken and poured out blood and body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is your inquiry finished? Is your discovery complete? Or possibly the better question is, has your discovery or your inquiry of Jesus even begun tonight? In fact, I would ask it this way. Have you truly considered the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and found them true or wanting tonight? Or are you content to live in the realm of superficial religion? You see, if some of us applied the intensity of devotion to seek after God that we apply to the seeking after of bettering my life or my physical fitness or whatever I'm devoted into this life, we would be far more faithful to the Lord and far more down the road of faithfulness. But we're often like religious people. We're able to answer chapter and verse. Jesus was born in Bethlehem to the Virgin Mary. I can say the creeds and I know them, but do you know Jesus Christ tonight? That's the question that needs to be answered this Christmas. Are you sure of your knowledge as Christ? Are you sure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as you are sure of the knowledge of that son or daughter that you'll be talking to driving down the road back home when you leave here? Do you know him that way tonight? Are you sure of Christ as you are sure of the breath that you breathe, the food that you eat, the presents that are under your tree when you get home? Are you sure of him that way? Because he said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never hunger. I am the living water. He who drinks from me will never thirst. Are you full of Jesus tonight? Is your thirst quenched? Is your inquiry finished? The Bible promises this. God rewards those who seek him diligently. Next, can I ask you, have we offered our devotion? Or better yet, let me put it this way. Who are we in love with tonight? What am I in love with tonight? For it is really that which we are devoted to and in love with that we give our worship to, that we give our resources to, that we give our money to, our talents to, our lives to, our Christmas celebration to tonight. It's the one we're in love with tonight. Have you seen, bowed down, and then worshiped the living God? And finally tonight, in closing, before we come to the table, let me ask you this. Have you made an offering tonight? I don't mean in a paper envelope. Have you made an offering to God in your life? What should we give him? The hymn writer says it this way. What shall I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I give him my heart tonight. Here's the offering that God looks for. Romans 12:1 puts it this way. We discover, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. In terms of divine wisdom of the wise men God called and he used for his glory, Pastor H.B. Charles notes it this way, and I appreciate this image. He says this, in obedience to divine warning, the wise men returned to their own country by another way. The simplest way home was to make a U-turn and retrace the way that they had come from, but they heeded the Lord's warning to go home another way. The other way was inevitably out of the way, yet their worship of the King would not allow them to go home the way that they had come. Hear that tonight. Let that be our statement tonight as we have worshiped Christ in this place, to go home another way. In fact, the Bible also puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. This is true in Christian conversion. And Pastor Charles goes on to say this, but it is also true of Christian worship. Richard Foster is right. If worship does not change you, it has not been worship. When you worship the King tonight, you ought to go home another way. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you for this gospel message that raises wonderful questions in our lives tonight. Is Christ the King of my life? Is he king of my emotional life, my physical life, my moral, my financial? Is the inquiry finished? Have we offered devotion? Have we made an offering to God openly presented in a spirit of truth and love? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this night that your word of wisdom would stay with us to take us beyond what is trivial and superficial and side issues this season. Help us to understand as those wise men bow down before the Lord Jesus that we would in our hearts today do the same. And as they offered their treasures, help us to offer the gifts of our lives to you this evening so that our words and our thoughts may be a fragrant offering to you, our strength, perfect, eternal gift, and redeemer of our soul. Oh come, Emmanuel, we trust you are here tonight. Amen and amen.